Folks, the people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory, a victory for we the people.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Justin Cash, the editor here, and I am your host. What a week it has been. In case you've been living under a rock, we have a 46th president.
We did it, Joe. You're going to be the next president of the United States.
Yes, there are still fights going on about the counts, and still four states at the time of recording this had not declared their final results. But even if Donald Trump wins Alaska, Arizona, Georgia, and North Carolina, he will not be coming back to the White House. Joe Biden, after winning the likes of Wisconsin and Michigan, is your man. It has been decided. For financial planners, this could mean something pretty significant stateside. Donald Trump was a key detractor from flagship rules under the Obama administration to bring in a fiduciary legal duty to act in the best interests of clients. With Biden now holding the Oval Office, does that turn on its head? I caught up with the father of life planning himself, George Kinder, to discuss. I finally caught up on the sleep that I've missed for over the last 5 days. I think I'm just glad it's over.
So you've been sleepless over there as well, huh?
Well, this is the thing, just because the time difference is such a weird one, by the time you wake up, if I wake up at like, you know, 8 o'clock, well, the first thing's come out at 5 or 6, yeah. So you've already missed it, you know?
I know, yeah. I was in London, you know, I spend, except for COVID now, I spend 3 or 4 months a year in London, and so I was there 4 years ago for the election. And woke up realizing that Trump had won. And like most of the people I know, immediately fell into a tremendous despondency and depression. And it's been 4 very rough years. I'm so glad that we've shifted. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, let's cast our mind back to that moment then, because Obama had worked on this lovely piece of policy with the Department of Labor called the fiduciary rule. And then Trump walks in and goes, no, thank you. Right. Well, how did you guys see that over that side of the pond?
Well, this was where when I sent you an email and said there's one thing that I don't know that the UK and the US have ever understood about each other really well. And that is, in the advice realm, there's an incredible movement that started in America in the early 80s, almost 40 years ago now, and that the closest thing to it in the UK is tiny and almost meaningless, and that's unregulated versus regulated. And the movement in America is called fee-only. And at this point, most of the great advisory work that's done in America that you and I would think of as great advisory work is done by fee-only advisors. So for them, the fiduciary rule does not present a problem. It's the best way to do it. It's acknowledging it. And what you're seeing, what you saw with the Department of Labor, what the regulation was really about, was who gets this market? And does the is the awarding of who gets that market, is it determined by the industry or by what's best for the consumer? That's really what it amounted to. So the regulations, yeah, they're tough for corporations who are selling products because they constantly have to fill things out and make sure that there are people who are doing the right thing and all of that. But for a fiduciary advisor, for someone, which is what the fee-only movement is, it's filled with fiduciary advisors. Life planning is generally part of that movement. But so for someone who's already a fiduciary advisor,
yeah,
deal. And what it does, though, is that it would set up that this whole area of pensions for kind of the middle market, for working class people, that it gets open to proper advice as opposed to just sales. So it wasn't a surprise that Trump said no.
Yeah.
Given that where his money comes from and who he's paying off, so to speak, in his politics. But it's very different from the UK, because in the UK, you don't have a fee-only. I mean, it stunned me, spending, I say, 3 months a year over there. One of the things that I'd love to inspire you to do at Money Marketing or anywhere else that you see is to set up a conference on fee only and get the regulators to come and get Michael Kitsis to come. I'd be happy to come for the life planning movement. Get some of the real leaders. Get Cheryl Garrett to come, who's working with the middle market or the working class, the ACP community, the XY community that Michael Kitsis has, is his community. Find out what's going on. My hunch is that the regulations in the UK are geared so much to product provider advisors that it's very difficult to imagine even a fee-only community arising.
Yeah, I think there is a decent mirror over here, though, of how people respond to the idea of a formal fiduciary standard coming in. Half the guys just go, well, what's the point? I do that already.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, that you could see that in, when you have someone who's chartered or certified, particularly the certified, they've been required to be fiduciary all along. So when you get really proper advice, substantial advice, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal, right?
So, I mean, if that movement is really growing, particularly in America, what are the odds now that we have a Biden Oval Office circling back and thinking that it's still worth spending the political capital on something like a fiduciary standard?
I think that the political capital won't be expended on this too much for the following reason. There's been so much capital expended, and it's rather a nightmare to go back and look at it again and debate it all again. And of course, we've got right now, it looks like the Senate will be in Republican hands. We'll see. I don't know if that will stand, but right now it looks pretty strong that way. I think it's a lot of work. But with Biden's power to appoint, to use executive actions and to determine kind of the regulatory enforcement, I think you can see an enforcement of the rules that is much closer to the fiduciary standard that those on our side always wanted. So I think you will see that. But how substantial that is, I don't know that this is where the next battle will be. And I think
even though it does seem to have pretty widespread support from the Democrats. I mean, I'm reading letters sent by senators saying that they're unhappy with the way that the rules got watered down and petitioning the Department of Labor to take a stand.
Absolutely. And I think there will be movement in that way, Justin. But think about what Biden has to deal with. He has to deal with a decimated executive branch. The regulatory branch, all of the civil servants, so many of them have been fired. You've got environmental regulations that have been decimated. The whole issue of racial justice is enormous in America right now and very much part of his passion. So usually in the first 100 days, a president spends his political capital, as you called it so generously a few minutes ago. Where is that political capital going to be spent? There are so many areas that Trump has undermined democracy. I think that the political capital is largely going to go in those areas if he can take the Senate back by winning both senators in Georgia on January 5th. Then I think you might have enough power for them to be going full all cylinders on all of these issues, and you might see, in fact, revisiting the law. But for now, a great deal can be done just by regulatory interpretations of what standards, what the new standards mean.
So let's look at, you know, where the financial planning profession might go after this, though. Is it post the Trump administration and a lot of the public seeing a symbol like the president not going ahead with financial regulation? For is it time for the community to come together and raise its own voice and say, yes, we might already be doing this, but it's important, a message to the public. It's important to regain that trust in us. And it's the symbol that we can stand on now if this should go through again.
I think that's a wonderful proposition, Justin. I would be fully, fully supportive, 100% behind it. And most of the people I know would be as well. The weakness in America, and I'm sure it's very similar, but with different, slightly different structure, is even with the Democratic backing, if you look at who controls the banking committee, and you look at where all of the senators on the banking committee got their political money from, it was all from the banks and the insurance companies. It was all from the product providers. So there's so we've got some work to do to kind of establish a real democracy as opposed to a technocracy or whatever we call it, where in fact the power is the consumers and the advisors who care for the consumers. In that regard, I think one of the very interesting places also to focus, worth focusing, is the ESG movement. And the reason that I think that is, I think that there's, I mean, think about it, what fiduciary means. Fiduciary means obviously putting your client's interest first ahead of your own. And what ESG is doing, and I know, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but I've now come out with a single sentence that I'm proposing as a fiduciary standard for all industries, and also for nonprofits and also for governments. And it basically says that all institutions should have a fiduciary obligation to all stakeholders, to democracy, and to the planet Earth that sustains us. And if we had that kind of responsibility, we wouldn't have to be fighting over all the little rules, including the, you know, the 403Bs, whatever the, you know, the 401 case, we would have more of an expectation that, in fact, a fiduciary standard is what we have in civilization. And what an amazing thing it would be. It would be similar to the Magna Carta in some ways, taking the power for the consumer and for citizens back from large institutions. Yeah. In your industry as well, and again, I don't know enough about it, but gosh, this whole thing of fake news. And what is freedom of the press? Should freedom of the press allow fake news? Should it allow conspiracy theories? Should it?
Oh, I'll campaign for a fiduciary standard for journalists. Why not?
Yes.
but are we talking, you know, next generation, though? Are we talking a lot of advisors who got into this profession through sales forces going, oh, hang on, you're now turning this into some moral mumbo jumbo. You know, my job is helping people make money. That's what I do.
Yeah, really good question. And of course, you and I come from slightly different generations. I'm at least a generation older than you, maybe two, maybe more. And what you're raising as an objection was raised in my time as well. And there's this notion that corporations should see it in their interest, that it's in their interest to really serve the consumer in a fiduciary way. And that was how many of us interpreted the Thatcher, Reagan, Milton Friedman kind of tweaks to economics and governance. That's how we thought. We thought, well, you know, maybe this deregulation, everybody knows that it's in their best interests. So will it happen? But what have we seen? We've seen climate change become a disaster. We've seen significant increases in inequality. We've seen ongoing corruption. We've seen just in this last decade tremendous reductions in democracy. At first, we saw increases in democracy with Glasnost and Perestroika and all of that, the collapse of the Iron Curtain and all of that. And now it's going in the opposite direction. So I think that a little legislation doesn't hurt.
That is of getting all the politics, economics, everything rolled together is a lovely way to finish a discussion that I'm sure could go on for hours. But I'm aware I'm cutting into your weekend, so thank you so much for giving up the time. It's a pleasure to chat to you as ever.
Wonderful, Justin. Wonderful to see you.
You too.
Yeah.
Stay safe out there and let us know how it's going once the transition finally takes place.
Thanks so much. It's exciting. It's still exciting times over here. Good to talk. Yep.
You too. Take care.
So that's it for today's episode. Thanks so much to George for giving up his time over an incredibly busy weekend over there stateside. Subscribe to us on Spotify, on Apple, if you want to catch our next episode. We are going to be back very shortly. Until then, stay safe, and we'll see you soon.